Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, a great tackle by Steve Tasker. Into the end zone. Touchdown. Touchdown.
And he's got it at the 10-yard line.
Touchdown. Touchdown. Touchdown, Buffalo. The Bills win it in overtime.
Hello there. Welcome to a new week. Welcome to One Bills Live presented by Kalina Health. Welcome to Orchard Park. And we are right next door to the Bills home field where the stadium field construction is well underway. Heavy equipment out there now. That means we're getting serious, folks. We got heavy equipment in here, too. We're getting serious about our show. We got a three-hour show. Welcome. John Murphy with my buddy Steve Tasker here for the next 3 hours. First day of organized team activity. And so what, you say? We're going to tell you why that's important. Steve, welcome to the show. Good weekend for both of us.
We kind of talked about it. A little busy, but fun.
Kind of busy.
I mean, let's face it. This was the bloom weekend of the summer, right, where it was warm and sunny. It had some rain off and on all the weekend, but, man, between those little rain showers, man, it was warm and sunny. And
yeah, it felt like summer.
And I worked about 3 hours in the yard yesterday. I told you, it was one of those times you put 3 hours of work in, and it's like work that nobody ever is going to notice except you. And I was totally
– That's frustrating.
And I mean, it wore me out. But it started on Friday night when you and I were at the dinner for the college breakfast thing.
Steve and I spent the first half of the weekend essentially together. We were thinking about getting a room. We didn't do that. But no, Friday night we were at the Buffalo Club for basically the head table for Saturday morning's Call to Courage Award. We had dinner. It was great. It was relaxing. Frank has a great – Frank Wright, I can call him by his first name now, I think. He has a great ability as a conversation facilitator, doesn't he? And he gets that conversation going. I've witnessed it now at that dinner. He will basically come up with a topic and kind of move around the table and get everybody talking about it. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, he kind of gives the floor to people at the dinner. He says, I want to hear from you, and I want you to tell me A, B, and C, right? And it's like, okay.
Exactly. to the point where I was prepared, and then he never called on me.
Right.
I was like, oh, I had some good
there's
stuff.
There's 15, maybe 20 15, people?
17 people there.
17 people, 15 or 20 people there. And he'll call on five, right?
Yeah.
Five or six people. And over the course of, coffee and cocktails and dinner and dessert and all of that stuff. He calls on different people and it was pretty fun. It was a nice event. And you can tell his head coaching skills come out.
Oh yeah.
You know.
And then Saturday morning, of course, the Call to Courage breakfast, 750 folks there at the Hyatt Hotel downtown Buffalo.
That was quite the power breakfast.
Yeah.
Sean McDermott was there.
Two head coaches.
The voice of the Bills was there. MC.
Yep,
it was nice.
I love a couple
of live players.
Yep, Matt Barkley was there from the Bills. Andy Dalton was the winner of the Call to Courage Award. Steve was there. Josh Reed from Channel 4, and we had a nice little kind of state of the NFL roundtable with the coaches and the media and Steve and I. And I love co-emceeing with Frank's beautiful daughter Leah. Who had her beautiful baby there, Bishop. It's funny that the breakfast ended and I said to Lee, I want to go introduce myself to Bishop, 6 months old. And she was hustled out of the room like she was the Pope or something. I want to say hi to Bishop.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was good.
And didn't hear a peep out of the baby either.
No, she was great.
And it was
great breakfast.
Really great. And it's cool too, because you can imagine an NFL head coach has the opportunity to partake in a lot of charitable fundraisers and galas, and they're kind of a prominent citizen where whatever city they're in. Frank and Linda bring their entire family, daughters, husbands, kids, they're all there. It's personal. It's a personal event that they take a great deal of interest in and they invest in. And for people on MSG, that's Frank presenting the award to Andy Dalton, who also spoke, of course, for 15, 20 minutes and gave his story to all the people and recounted that story of 2 years ago about, the touchdown pass on 4th and 12 with time running out in the game against the Ravens. They win the game. The Bills go to the Super Bowl after a 17-year playoff drought and start donating to Andy Dalton's foundation in $17 increments up to the tune of $417,000 at the end of it.
Yeah.
Who does that?
It's an amazing
That's an amazing story.
Dalton was on the show with us last Thursday, I want to say, right. maybe Friday. And he said it on the show with us, and he repeated it at the breakfast Saturday morning. You don't hear that very often, where the quarterback from another city raises $417,000 in another city based on a pass that he threw. I mean, it's the kind of story that makes you stop and say, huh, really, right?
It's a once-in-a-lifetime occurrence, because let's think about the confluence of events that had to happen for that to come about. First of all, the drought. And then the scenario where you're going to back into the playoffs, and then having that happen in that regard, and your game is over early, and the entire fan base of the Bills is watching the end of the Baltimore-Cincinnati game. And I to this day, and I told all my old guys this, you know, Jim Thurman, Bruce Andre, all those guys, we had this conversation. I said, guys, you talk about all the moments we had, and there were some great ones. That's up there. With them. That is a classic all-time moment for an entire generation of Bills fans. That moment when Dalton completes that pass, the guy goes in for the touchdown, and everybody's in the playoffs all at once at the same time.
Yeah.
And it was spectacular. I think it was one of the all-time moments. And Andy Dalton, he's like, you know, like everybody. You're shrugging your shoulders, and you shake your head, and you're like, wow, how does that happen?
Yeah. It was nuts.
How many things had to come together in that moment to make a moment that special? Yeah. And it took years to do it.
Watching on TV in the locker room.
Oh, my gosh. It was so cool.
But Dalton, too, and I've never – I mean, we talked to him about it last week on the show, and I guess I've read interviews with him, but that was the first time we really heard his version of how it went down and what it felt like. And as he admitted, he didn't know really what it meant for Buffalo. He knew, I think, they could knock Baltimore out. But he didn't know that it meant Buffalo would go in. He probably had no idea there was a 17-year playoff drought going on here. And no one had any idea that Bills fans would react the way they reacted that night and the next couple of days in support of Dalton's foundation. Just an amazing NFL. Again, the kind of story that makes you, if you told that to somebody, they would say, huh? What? Tell me again? What happened?
He says, yeah, we knew there were scenarios where other teams would get in or they get out. But all we really knew is we'd knock our division rival out of the playoffs.
Yeah.
So we knew that. And then, you know, when you get out, and then he goes in, and of course, after he showers and stuff, he starts checking his phone. And, you know, there's, you know, a couple of grand in there from Bills fans, and all of a sudden it picks up steam. And then his agent calls and says, hey, are you looking
see
at this?
What's going on here?
This thing's picking up steam. And of course, it turned into what it turned into. And even last year at the preseason game in Buffalo, when Cincinnati came in, he got a great ovation, introduced him after the entire team came out. And with the funny part about the whole thing is, you know, the home opener for the Buffalo Bills this year in New Era Field is the Cincinnati Bengals and Andy Dalton.
Yeah.
He says, and I know I'm going to get the exact same ovation. He said that with a little snark.
Yes.
You know, but he's coming back to town again.
September 22.
Yeah.
And Frank and the Colts are coming back here to open the preseason on August 8th. Probably not have the same feel that day. Preseason opener, but still, it was a great breakfast, a great job done by Joe Chifa and Fred Raines from Athletes in Action, who put that on now for 18 consecutive years. It's a benefit for Athletes in Action, 750 people. And I was surprised early on, somebody asked the crowd, how many people is this your first one? And I guess I assumed it was the same group year after year. There was at least almost half of the audience that were attending the first one.
I was shocked by that.
A lot of kids.
A lot of first-timers there. Yeah. I was surprised by that. It was, you know, I've been there to maybe 17 of the 18 of them, at least 16 of the 18 of them. And I was surprised. I didn't know that there were that many people who had not gotten a chance to be there. It was a fun day, though. Fun day. And you always know where you're getting in. It moves fast. I always tell people, it starts about 9 a.m. on Saturday there at the Hyatt. And you're out of there by 11. And this year we were like maybe 11:10 or something. But that 2 hours, I mean, there's a lot going on. They have a lot of things on the program, a lot of speakers, a lot of interesting stuff that happens, interviews and discussions and panels and stuff. So it's not just coming in and listen to one guy speak and everybody goes home. It's an event.
It
and it's really good, but it does move fast. It was fun.
Yeah.
It was fun. So did you do anything the rest of the weekend?
What else did I do? We had people over for dinner on Saturday. That kept me busy. And yesterday, last evening, I went to the Syracuse University Western New York Alumni Awards. Attorney Lisa Coppola, Syracuse alum, law school and undergrad, got the Fred McAmer Award are there for any, distinguished are there alumnus.
Syracuse alums in the broadcast industry?
There are a lot. I wish they would come. I know they're all over Buffalo. We got to get them to come to this. The really cool thing, and I was brought in to basically talk about my buddy Dick Beyer, the destroyer who passed away a couple of months ago, who was really the man behind this dinner, got me involved in it decades ago, and he just passed away, and his wife and his daughter Chris were there, and I just said, we did a toast to the memory of the destroyer, Dick Beyer. It was pretty cool. I think it was worthwhile over at Ilio's, nice group of 50 or more people. It was good.
And that was last night?
Last night.
Yesterday morning I was downtown for the hospice walk, memorial walk. So we had there was 4,000 people down there walking. There was also a Rise Skyway ride
going on.
And then there was a Run Jimmy Run down there too. I mean, the downtown was jumping. Yeah. It was a beautiful day. And it was a 5K walk for hospice, 4,000 people. Of course, Wester was there, and then there's a bunch of corporate sponsors and stuff. WYRK was there, Clay Moden's a good buddy of mine.
Oh, yeah.
So we did this walk 3 miles, and we got about 2.5 miles in, and it opened up, man. It started. We just got in this tent, this hospitality tent, and man, it was sprinkling, and then it like a bucket. So ton of people turned out for it. I was sitting there about to. I was kind of an honorary guest, right? So I was going to cut the ribbon on the start of the walk, right? So we're about there just 4 minutes before, and so the breakfast was the day before that. Hannah Reich, Frank's daughter, is still in town. She's there. Goes, hey, Mr. Tasker, how are you? So I was like, she's still in town.
Is she there for the walk?
No, she was just tooling around down the canal side. It was a great day.
Oh, cool.
And so she came up, gave me a hug, and I hadn't even got a chance to say hello to her the day before, and then so. I did that. So the walk was great. It was they raised a ton of money over the course of the thing. 22 years is $4 million. Yesterday they raised over $300,000. So
cow.
it was a big deal, and that was good. And I was glad to take part of it.
It was a good weekend. Don't you think? I feel like it's the opening. Look, we always jump the gun on this, but it's the opening weekend of summer. The weather was good enough. There was enough going on socially, and Steve and I pointed out even with Frank Singh a little bit more than socially. Don't you feel like summer is here now? Even though the weather might be lagging behind a little bit,
it is because why? Because now every weekend's got like 15 events on.
Yeah.
We got to pack them in.
Yeah,
every event has to start from now on.
Yeah.
It's got to be on. My weekend wasn't over until this morning. I spoke to a group of middle schoolers at West Seneca West Middle School this morning. I went over and talked to them a little career career festival. I'm not sure exactly the title of it. Let me check my phone and break. But it was I talked to maybe 15 or 20.
Oh, that's great.
Middle schoolers this morning. I got a chance to do that really early, period. I think they called it.
You've lived this life, and I have too, in a separate way. What happens though when you're involved in pro football is your summer is cut short because by the time you get to the end of July, it's football season again, right? So. Guys like you and me try to jam everything in, and for the next the next 2 months, every weekend.
Not me, man. I got my weekends back in the fall.
Okay,
I'm stoked. I lost my job.
Have you talked about that here on the show?
No, I don't think so.
You want to talk about it?
We can if you want. I hadn't planned on it, but I was like that. You made me
about
it. I get a bunch of weekends. I'm not working for CBS anymore.
Oh man.
Yeah, they didn't renew my contract. Which they called me and they never owed me a job. It was always a privilege to work for 21 years I was there, and
21.
I loved it. CBS is a great company. I love their broadcast, their people, their leadership. Everything over there was great. But, I'm 57 now, and they got to move on for me.
You did sidelines the last couple of years.
You did.
You were a color analyst for several years. Did you start out as a sideline guy there?
No, I started out as a color analyst.
In the booth.
In the booth. I was in the booth for 20 years, I was in the booth for probably 20 of them, off and on. And then some years obviously 17 games. I'd down to 10. Some years I only did 8 games. But I also did the sideline stuff. When they needed a guy, they would call me, and I would jump in as a sideline with another crew or whatever.
Wow.
I did some Super Bowls on the sidelines, obviously.
Yeah, most notably the Super Bowl Lights Out Super Bowl.
Yeah, the Blackout Super Bowl, I did that. And
What a run.
It was fun, man.
Great run.
It was great.
I'm trying to think of some of the great broadcasters you work with. Can I guess a few that I think I remember? Didn't you start out with Don Crickey?
I didn't start out with Don. My first year was with Gus Johnson.
Gus Johnson. I mean, classic, right?
Gus was great.
Yeah.
Gus and I are still,
great.
still great friends, too. I love Gus.
I run into Gus.
I love Don Crickey, too.
Yeah, Gus I run into every once in a while. Typically on college basketball broadcasts.
Yeah.
And I met him. He did Bills for a couple of years with you, I think, too, right? He did Bills preseason. And he is an unbelievable guy, and I know people know him from the games and everything he does, the Madden games, I guess. But if you meet Gus Johnson once, he will treat you like a king every time you see him after that. Because yeah, that's what he does with me. Yeah. Murph, what's going on? That was my fault.
He's the best.
Yeah. Cricky is one of the best.
Crick, listen, Crick was kind of more my mentor. Yeah. Gus, when Gus and I jumped in the booth together, it was his first football and my first football. So we, you know, we kind of were holding each other hand, you know, trying to get through it. When I got in with Crick, Crick had been doing it. Don has been doing it for 40 years before he even met me, right?
You grew up watching that. Literally, yeah, we all did. Grew up watching Don Cricky.
He called the Tom Dempsey 63-yard kick in 1963 or whatever it was. I mean, he's been doing games that long.
Yeah.
He's Ken Moore guy. So he taught me a ton. I learned a ton from Don. Yep. He was a great guy to have for me during my – we were together for like 6 years. I think I worked more games with him than Bob Trumpy.
I believe that.
Yeah.
I just every once in a while you bump into somebody in Buffalo who says, "Hey, Cricky says to say hello." He's still hanging out in Jersey. You know,
he's great. Yeah,
where's he lives on Far Hills, New Jersey, or
Essex Fells.
Okay.
I think.
Yeah.
Essex Fells.
Who else did you work with? Well, of course, Andrew Catalon.
Last couple of years, and then also with Bill Mackey.
Mackey. Yeah.
Had a couple of years with him. Good years with Bill. He was great. Good friend. Loved working with Bill. True pro. Fun guy. Really great guy. He was a little bit like Don Cricky. You know, you picture these guys doing the games. You know, Don Cricky was in a tuxedo. You know, you could just feel it. Right?
Not really.
But that's kind of the – he was a formal. Same thing with Bill McAtee. He was one of those guys. Gus was in a hoops jersey, right? I mean, he was great. It was fun. It was fun doing it. You know, like Dick Enberg was in a cardigan sweater, that kind of thing. That's why I always did it, right? So, they didn't move us around too much. Tom McCarthy.
Yeah.
I did him the last couple of years. Had a game with him. Yeah, he's a baseball guy. So I worked with a bunch of guys. Ian Eagle, I worked as a sideline guy for him. I worked a little bit with, and of course, Kevin Harlan. I was his sideline guy this past year.
Great broadcast.
Kevin Harlan's probably as big a name as you'll see. He does all the games, and he does a high level.
NBA.
College basketball and football.
He might be the best working right now.
Right, he's the busiest.
Yeah.
Jim, and of course Jim Nance I worked with as well.
Yeah.
And Jim is a
Over CBS.
Yeah, I actually get to stay home for a weekend occasionally now.
How did you get started at CBS? Was it right after you retired from football?
I retired and I was doing the show at Channel 7 Steve Tasker show or whatever. What was it called?
The Steve Tasker show.
No, I don't think that was it.
With
it was
John Murphy.
It was something else. It was like
Bills
something with Steve Tasker.
3 or 4 years we did it together.
Yeah, we did. Yeah. All right. Anyway, so I did that, and they knew. So, and I thought NBC had done all our games from the time when I was playing, right?
Yeah.
With Paul McGuire and all those guys, right? Paul did all our games and stuff, and Chris Collinsworth had started. So NBC was doing all our AFC games at that time. So I was like, you know, I was trying to like, hey, you know, because I always thought Marv was going to cut me at any moment. So I was like, hey, you know, I'm looking for, you know, I want to do this when I'm done. I kind of made it known. And plus the PR guys here, the media relations guys here kind of helped me. They'd plug me into production meetings and say, you need to talk to our special teams captain too, you know, that kind of thing. So when I finished, I heard right after I retired, NBC is out of the NFL. I was like, oh. Those are all the guys I know. And CBS got back in.
Fox got in that year, right? Fox?
Fox had got in 4 years before, and they took CBS's package. So those years, CBS was out.
Yep.
So CBS was getting back in. I was like, oh, no. All the guys I know at NBC are now not even in the league anymore. But actually, it worked out perfectly because CBS had to hire a whole new crew. They were hiring 8 or 9 new analysts. So I go in I remember distinctly, St. Patrick's Day, 1998. March 17th, 1998, I'm in Manhattan going down to BlackRock to do a screen test for an analyst job. I'm walking. I got a coat and tie, you know, mohair top coat on, a briefcase full of, like, my cassette tapes, DVD, all the stuff, VHS, beta, you know, DVD, everything. I got everything, all my tapes from when I was doing TV and all the TV work that I'd done up to that point. So I'm walking down to get there, and it's St. Patrick's Day, and the whole island is drunk. Everybody in New York City is drunk, and I'm the only like sober guy there trying to, and I'm dressed, right? Everybody else in t-shirt, like, kiss me, I'm Irish, you know, all this stuff, and I'm trying to get across across Fifth Avenue, and there's like 5,000 cops parading down. I can't get across, you know, so finally navigate my way down, find my way down there. I get up there, and I do this screen test with Jim Nance and Now the center from the San Francisco 49ers, I can't think of his name, is on radio.
I can see him.
I can too. He was there, and Randy Cross.
Randy Cross.
And so Randy Cross is they're the two guys. We're in the studio today, kind of like you and I sit here, right? And we're talking about, and we do a couple of exercises. I did a little Telestrator. I did a little live studio highlight thing, like, okay, here's this one, you know, like fast moving for a halftime show kind of thing, you know. So we did all these exercises and stuff. Then we did a little stand up in a studio, like how to catch a pass,
question.
All that
did
stuff.
They tell you what you were auditioning for at that time, or had they not yet decided what role
they didn't have? They said analyst, but when I did all this stuff, I hardly did any analyst
work. Okay,
so I just, it was all studio stuff.
Okay,
so I did all this, and the guy that came in right after me was James Lofton. Yeah, James. Excellent. Was there doing his thing. And so now James is still working at CBS. He just came back 2 years ago.
Right.
And now he's working. He's working with Andrew Catalan. Yeah. So I did it, and it seemed to go well. I don't know. They didn't even ask for my tapes. They got it, you know. So I left, and about 2 weeks later, they offered me a spot.
Wow.
And I was there for 21 years.
Excuse me.
You're welcome. It's nothing to sneeze at. 21 years.
It's nothing to sneeze at. What
it was
a great,
great.
What
was a great
run,
run,
though.
It was.
I mean, how many Super Bowls did you do?
I don't know. I could not tell. Five.
Wow.
Six. Four.
That's impressive.
Four, five, six, something like that.
That's really impressive.
I worked on a bunch of them that I didn't actually work the game.
Yeah.
Where we were down there doing extra stuff, you know, and the lights out game, the blackout game. I was there. I was busting my tail the entire week leading up to it, doing feature stories and stuff for the NFL CBS Sports Network.
We'd probably talk longer about this, and we didn't plan it, obviously. But the blackout game, and you are really noted for that. Well, at what point during the lights go out, and at what point did they realize that yours was the only microphone and setup they could go to? Like, how long did that take? A minute?
Well, I'll say it's a 2 minute commercial break.
So about you came back after
about a minute and a half into that, they finally found.
What did it sound like in your headset? Was it?
Well,
panic?
I couldn't hear anything. That's the whole thing. Our mics were live. We had hardwired mics. Solomon Wilcox and I had live mics on the side, but we couldn't hear them talking to us because we had wireless IFBs, the internal feedback. And I looked at my A2, Victor, and I go, he goes, you can hear Lance, right? And I go, I can't hear anything. And then he got this look on his face like, So he took his headset off and stuck it on my head, and I could hear Lance Barrow, the executive producer of CBS Sports, doing this. You know, this guy's a high power. You know, he's the guy.
Yeah.
And he goes, Lance. I go, Lance, I've got headset now. This Steve, you know, Steve Tasker, this is me. Can you hear me? And he goes, Steve Tasker, can you hear me? I go, yeah. He goes, all right, you're taking it out of break.
And what thought went
he says
your
you're
head?
Taking it out of break. He goes, just tell him what happened. We're going to show the video of the things going on, and we're going to go back to break. And I said, okay. And he popped off for a minute, and I know from experience he was screaming, telling da 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 da. And he comes back on just about this fast and goes, all right, you're taking it out of break in 5, 4, and that was it. You know, 110 million
people.
At
any point did you feel like pinching yourself? Like, is this really happening?
No, you know, it didn't crush
it's the
me.
Super Bowl.
It didn't crush me until after it was all over.
Yeah.
After it was all over. And I was like, wow, we were close.
And how many hits did you do?
We
you
were
did
really,
a couple.
I just did one, like, for, like, and literally it was like a 90-second hit when they came
That's
back.
That's all you did? I feel like you were back on
I know.
Times.
And then when they came back, I also brought it out of break the next time, but then threw it across to Solomon. And Solly took it for a second, and he threw it. By that time, they had the studio set up, and James Brown, Danny, and Bill Cowher, and all those guys, and, you know, they took it over.
Was that the highlight of your CBS tenure, would you say?
Or the low light.
Or the low light.
Yeah, I would have shouted and done a better job. I didn't feel really good about it after it was over. I wanted to do a better job after it was
over.
Did
you watch tapes of it?
Yeah. And plus the Saturday Night Live thing, too, I saw. That was really funny.
I hope you don't feel bad about Saturday Night Live.
No, that's great.
They're teasing.
I don't have a problem with it. But, you know, it's like a live TV. You want to do it better every time you see it.
21 years at CBS, and it's over. Steve just made this announcement, ladies and gentlemen.
Well,
we're breaking
like
news here.
Nobody cares. Except,
I think people care. And the best part is, this is how we got into this for you, is that for the first time in, well, let's say probably 35 years.
You got
weekends off.
In the fall.
What are you going to do?
Golf.
Yeah. What else?
Nap.
You'll watch the Bills, pay attention to the Bills.
Absolutely. I'll be at all the home games for sure.
Yeah.
In fact,
you can hang out
in fact, I'll probably be tailgating and
Oh, okay. Don't hang out in there.
And I'll hang out. Yeah, I will. I mean, I'll come up. I won't drink in the booth, but I'll be with. I'll stop by Jim's tailgate. And
sure.
Thurman, I got a buddy that tailgates hard over.
So you played
the road.
14 years in the league.
13 years in the league.
Plus 21. So first time in 34 years that you have not worked on an NFL Sunday.
Yeah. Now there've been like the last few years I've had a couple of weekends where I've been able to go to home games and stuff. Right. So I've started to acclimate myself into the flow.
Amazing, Steve Tasker. I don't know where that came from. It's not on the rundown. That whole conversation.
Well, we didn't discuss. When you started talking about weekends, I started perking up, saying, "Yeah, I get mine back.
Yeah,
it's gonna be fun."
So I don't know where. No, that's good. I'm glad we had that discussion. Yeah. We've known about it. You told me several weeks ago.
Yeah, and I always want to. I love CBS. Even I don't work there anymore, but man, they're great. They were really great. It was a great opportunity for me. I loved it, and I was happy to be a part of that company.
Excellent. Not on the rundown. What is on the rundown, however, we got a pretty good show. Robert Mays from TheRinger.com is going to join us at 1 o'clock. Robert is a really good writer, and he kind of gets deep into things. He's written about a couple of things that got my attention. He maintains, and we'll talk about this, he maintains that just like running backs have been devalued in the NFL, defensive ends, edge rush guys are going to be devalued. He says it's already started to happen. He's got that thought. He's got a couple of other thoughts. We'll get with Robert Mays at 1 o'clock today. After today's practice for the team, we expect to get Tyree Jackson, the UB quarterback, the rookie, now on an undrafted rookie free agent contract with the Bills. He and his teammates are out on the practice field as we speak, Steve. The first day of OTAs, it began around 11:30. They're out on the grass practice field outside One Bills Drive here. It is OTAs, and as I said, people will say, what the heck is OTAs? What are you talking about? Well, look, it's too much verbiage, right? OTAs, organized team activity. Leaves yourself open to all kinds of jokes. But what it is, really, is the first kind of – the closest thing to football they've done since last December.
They're playing football without contact.
Yeah, 7-on-7, 9-on-7 drills, 11-on-11, teamwork. Very limited pads. I saw them going out today. And no contact, obviously. But it's the first kind of look at football that you would get. We're going to talk about that a lot this week, and we'll hear from some of the participants of the OTAs, maybe even Tyree Jackson today. Our Twitter poll today deals with OTAs. And, I think it's a good question.
It is. And I got to give kudos to Jay Harris, our producer. He came up with it.
For listening to me when I proposed this
question? No, not you.
I give him credit, too, for paying attention to me for my question. It's a good one.
Can it
I
is read a good
it, or
one. Go ahead.
Steal it and
nope.
make it yours?
Nope, it's not mine.
If you're Bean and McDermott, Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott, where do your eyes go first during today's OTA? First OTA, where do you look first if you're Bean and McDermott? Now, look, and Steve can tell you, they will watch the OTA, both of them, along with several other personnel people and all the coaches. And they'll go in and watch tape. Probably right. for the next 12 hours, right, of today's practice. But where do they go first? What are they most interested in? That's our Twitter poll question today. You can vote on the Twitter poll at One Bills Live. You can tweet in a response. We may read it in our tweet sheet. We'd love it if you call us up and let you know what you think. Phone line's open, 803-0550. And outside Buffalo, toll-free call, 1-888-550-2550. If you're Bean and McDermott, where do your eyes go first in today's first OTA? On the Twitter poll side, right now already 500 votes are in, and it's fairly close. 51% say their eyes go first to Josh Allen, the quarterback. 40% say to the offensive line. Only 7% say the first-round draft pick Ed Oliver. 2% have something else in mind. Let us know what you think. If you were the GM or the coach of this team and you walk out there to OTAs on kind of a cloudy, reasonably decent day in Orchard Park, where do your eyes go first watching today's OTAs? Give us a call and we'll discuss. What about you, Steve?
I am every time we put Josh on a poll, he runs off with it. That's why we're hesitant to do it. But there's so many other interesting things about this roster these days. Now, I think the only reason for me that your eyes go to Josh Allen, because you want to watch him. You want to see him. You just want to see how he's doing. Just check up on him to see how he's doing. I think the most interesting thing about the whole thing is who's playing that first offensive line? What are the five guys?
That's
who are those five guys?
Yep.
Because we know, like, is it Mitch Morse? Okay, all right. Is he there? Or is it Bodine? Is it, is it Deion Dawkins at left tackle? Is Cody Ford at right tackle? Or is he at right guard? Who's playing? Is Ty Nsekhe? He's a tackle. But if you're starting Cody Ford at tackle, where's Ty Nsekhe go to? He's as good a swing tackle as there is in the league. So where are all these guys? Spencer Long, is he in there, or is it somebody else? Is it Wyatt Teller, who was a starter last year for the last half of the season? Which of these guys is in there? Quentin Spain, the guy they pulled in? Who are they? I want to know who they are lining up at that front five and where they're lining up.
Yep.
I'm so curious. Now, they may be way ahead of that because they know who they're going to line up, but I want to see it, right?
Me too. That's what I would look at first. Who's lining up where? I think tomorrow when it is open, today's OTA practice is closed, and most of them are. Tomorrow should be open for a little while, and I plan on making that my first glance. Who's lining up where on the offensive line? Not even necessarily how do they look, how are they playing, but where are they lining up, where are they running? I think that would be the first thing I would look at. But you may have something else in mind, and I get it. You want to see Josh Allen. If you're looking at Josh Allen first, will you today – or even this week, or these 10 OTAs, will you be able to see signs that he is progressing? And what would you look for if you chose Josh Allen to?
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Look at in these workouts.
Right, right.
I don't know that there's – I almost think you have to defer that interest, natural interest, to – at least preseason football games, yeah. And maybe even regular season.
I'd almost put John Brown and Cole Beasley above. You know, I want to see are they getting open? Do they look good? Where are they lining up? How are they? You know, how are they looking? What's Josh going to be looking at when he turns around and puts his eyes down the field? That's kind of what I want to see too. You know, and this is the thing too that we've been having fun with the fact they're playing dodgeball out here and the intensity. Yeah. That they're competing hard to win a silly volleyball game. They're playing tug of war and they're like out here breaking knuckles trying to win this tug of war thing. They're in these stationary bikes racing. I mean, they have these data screens and you got to get data to the right place on these stationary bikes. They're all teamed up with offense, defense, big guys, small guys. They got all these competitions going on, and that's all well and good, and it's all in team building, and I get it, and it has value, but man, oh man, they got helmets on.
Yeah, this is a lot like football.
They got helmets on and they're lining up and they're shifting and they're motioning and they're making the defensive calls and they're coming off the ball. That's what I want to see.
Me too.
Everything changes. And, like, you know, nobody's allowed out there. They're not taking videos of this.
I wanted to see it today, but they wouldn't listen.
Yeah, their game film. Close. Yeah, they're filming it like a real practice, and they're like – and tomorrow the tone changes. You know, you can film a volleyball game if you – or a dodgeball game if you want. Listen, the tone changes when they sit down in the film room and it's you on the film and you got an assignment you're supposed to be doing. You got to do it. That – everything changes on and off the field, so it's a big deal, I guess.
Kind of a big deal in
the
offseason
NFL, yeah.
World.
We talk, Sean and Frank both said it at that breakfast on Saturday morning. They were both asked, obviously, about their thing, and they're on identical schedules.
Yeah,
and they were like, yeah, it changes.
It changes, and we're going to talk about that. And we want to know from you if you had a chance to be out there today watching. If you were Brandon Bean or Sean McDermott, where would your eyes go first? Give us a call to discuss, 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Lines wide open. We'll talk about that and a lot more when we return. We're just getting rolling here. It is One Bills Live, presented by Collider Health from One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio. Welcome back to the show. John Murphy with Steve Tasker. It's funny, before the show, we're in our office, and, some days they're – quiet. Some days are not. Today, I couldn't shut up today, right in the office. And I'm thinking maybe my effusive personality today made you announce that you were leaving CBS. You know what I mean? Just cause I admit it. Yeah. I came into work today. I was like, blah, 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 blah. You ever get like that?
Yeah. No.
I don't know what sparked it.
Too much whiskey over the weekend or something.
That was another topic this morning.
My wife and I, Sarah and I, we haven't really told anybody. Not really told anybody, but we told – I mean, you
told
know.
Me.
You've known
yeah.
for a couple of months.
Yeah, I can keep a secret.
So, you don't really announce stuff like that, right?
Right.
I mean, you just like –
excuse me, everybody.
Yeah, right. Pardon me, everybody.
I've been let go.
Right? So, I was just going to say, yeah, if it comes up like it did in this conversation about getting weekends
yeah.
in the summer like we all do in Buffalo, you got to pack them out.
Yeah.
This year I can pack them out and do stuff
we're
other than
regular,
travel.
We got a great tweet about this, Steve, and I don't want to dwell on it too much, but Jeremiah Ortiz tweeted this in after your discussion, Steve, announcing that after 21 years he is leaving CBS. Jeremiah Ortiz says, of course we care, Steve. I'm sure I wasn't the only one that always felt like, that's our guy every time I saw you working a game. Best wishes to you and your family, Steve. Thank you for all your work from your football career and onward. That's really nice from Jeremiah Ortiz.
Yeah. Well, let's not turn this into a, you know.
Why not?
Thanks, Jeremiah. I appreciate it. But
why not?
Yeah. Okay.
That's nice. Hey, we do have a real topic today that doesn't deal with Steve. It deals with OTAs. No, you know what I mean.
Yeah.
We got something really to talk about. It's our so if you're Brandon Bean or Sean McDermott and you walk out there today an hour ago, first day of the 10 OTA days, where do your eyes go first? Our Twitter poll, we put up three names or three suggestions. Josh Allen, 52% of you say that's where you'd look first. 36% of you say you'd look at the offensive line. That's where Steve and I say we would look first. 10% say first-round draft pick Ed Oliver. 2% had something else in mind. We got about 750 votes already in on Twitter. Like to hear your thoughts on this. Give us a call also. We'll read some tweets in a moment, but a phone call to start, and we'll go with Tom in Buffalo. I'm on a new laptop here. Hello, Tom. Go ahead. Where would your eyes go first, Tom?
Hey, guys.
Hi.
First, I'd like to wish Steve a happy second retirement.
Thank you.
And look forward to your – when is your third retirement going to be?
Hopefully not. Maybe about 3 o'clock. No.
You are one of those guys. You're going to retire about – I know a couple of guys like you.
Retired 4 or 5 times.
I went to a guy – he's deceased now. I love the guy. But I bet I went to a half dozen – he was a basketball coach – a half dozen retirement parties for him.
Okay, if you're McDermott, I would probably guess defense because he's defensive-minded. But Bean, I would be all over the offense watching the chemistry all the way from the offensive line to Josh Allen and his chemistry with the tight ends and wide receivers and then even the running backs because I'm not worried about the defense this year. But Daboll has all new toys on the offense. And he's got to put them together and scheme around what he has.
Good point.
Yep. We always do this on the show because there's always, you know, room for it and makes good sense to do it. And thanks for the call, Tom. But like you start out talking about Josh, obviously, here's the thing. It's all about Josh at this point. They have bolstered the offensive personnel, theoretically, until we're proven otherwise, either yes or no. There's not much more they can do with the roster around Josh. They gave him some weapons. They gave him a couple of good receivers, quality proven guys. He's got two of the most experienced, well, the two most experienced running backs in NFL history in the same backfield behind him. One's a shoe-in Hall of Famer, and the other one, LeSean McCoy, is one of those guys that with a good year, a year and a half, he's in that conversation. And you got a draft pick back there. You got four new tight ends that you're looking at, and the offensive line's been upholstered. So the whole roster's been built, and now it comes back to your quarterback. You know, how is Josh going to do it? That's why, you know, 52% of the people who've responded, you know, there's no question. It is about Josh.
It is. But I guess my point is, and we specifically worded this exquisitely worded Twitter poll to say this, where do your eyes go first during today's OTA? What can you possibly see today that would give you an idea of Josh Allen's progress, his next step? I don't know that there's much that you could see. As I said, maybe not even until you get to a preseason game or a regular season game, to be honest. I don't know what to look for from Josh.
And I think also a lot of their evaluation for this time of year, Murph, happens in a dark film room.
Yeah.
They're getting his feedback. What do you think about this? Remember and this is the one thing I think Josh has over the other three quarterbacks in the game. You're talking about Baker Mayfield, Sam Darnold, Josh Rosen. He's got the same coordinator, same head coach, same room, same guys around him. Josh Allen's walking back into it, ready to take another step on top of what he's already done. Now you got Sam Darnold in New York. He's running a new offense, new terminology, new players, all of that stuff. Baker Mayfield, same team, same offensive coordinator, but now his coordinator's spread more thin, and now is the head coach. And that's an adjustment, although albeit not as great as Sam Darnold. Josh Rosen, good grief. He got traded to the Miami Dolphins, first-time head coach, new players, new offense.
There was some weird stat about how many offensive coordinators in the last, like, four different OCs for Josh Rosen in the last 4 years.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
So all of that stuff going on, with that in mind, Josh Allen, of those guys, has the most stability moving forward. He's the guy that's coming back and maybe ready to take another step quicker because everything's stable around him. So that's, you know, and it is all about him. It is all about him. But by the same token, you know, they're finding out a lot of stuff about, you know, in conversation with him in the dark room where they're all watching film. And they say, what do you remember about this? And he'll say, well, we called this because of this, you know, this defense. We were thinking this and this. And I think, and, you know, I made my mind up here before, you know what I mean? All these conversations really help in the evaluation process. So on the field, when they get out on the field, it's like, you know what? I don't need to watch him. I'm going to watch him on film. What I want to see is I want to see Ed Oliver rush the passer. I want to see him, what he looks like and his hand placement. You know, there's stuff on the field that mean more with other positions than they do in the quarterback spot because it's so mental.
Hey, what do you think if you're Brandon Bean or Sean McDermott, where do your eyes go first when you hit the field today for OTAs, first day of OTAs? From the tweet sheet from Ray, he says, it's all about Josh Allen. Does he control the huddle? Does he start to develop chemistry with his new receivers? Does he pick up where he left off at season's end as an undisputed leader of the team? I mean, he controlled the huddle last year. And you're right about this, Ray. He finished off last season as pretty much the undisputed leader of the team, at least the offense in particular. Look, as Steve just pointed out, yes, it is all about Josh Allen. I just don't know what to expect to see from him in a practice like today's.
And I don't think, and like I said, most of what they're finding out about him isn't on the football field. Or anything, and believe me, anything he does on the football field, the film is going to tell them. And they're going to go over it time and time again. So to be on the field, and let's face it, Sean McDermott may not be in the defensive lineman meetings. He probably won't be in the quarterback meeting. But he'll know what he's looking at when he gets on the field, and he'll want to go over and see whichever one he's not going to spend more time with. I would think it was going to be the defensive line. He may be in some offensive meeting. He may be in the quarterback room. He may be talking about this with those guys. But whatever one he's not in, that's the one he's going to go watch so he gets more information about it. So if he's not going to rub up against the offensive lineman this week or this much, he may go watch them in practice to make sure he's up on what's going on over there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The one he doesn't spend more time, the most time with off the field is the one he'll watch when they're on the field.
What do you think? Where do they go? Where do their eyes go first? The GM and the coach, give us a call. We've got lines to open to talk about that. We've got more tweets to read, too. Come on back. One Bills Live from One Bills Drive, and this is Buffalo Bills Radio. Welcome back. One Bills Live from One Bills Drive. I'm John Murphy. Steve Tasker is here. Happy to have you with us. Bills out on the field for a little while longer in the first day of OTAs, organized team activity. We talked about, it's not critical, but it's significant, I think, and a significant step in the offseason anyway. And, by the way, our guest at 1 has bailed. Robert Mays, who is scheduled to be with us today at 1 o'clock, according to, I'm gonna believe him. He called our producer, Jay Harris, and said, hey, I was at a concert last night screaming, I have no voice today. Can I do the show some other day?
You know what? I like the
I like the honesty.
I know. I like the fact that when a guest bails on us, Murph calls him out. He bailed on us.
He bailed.
Like
that's
last
right.
week when
Lane Kiffin.
Lane Kiffin was fishing. where is he? And he tweets 5 seconds later that he's got a big fish on the line, right? So he doesn't call. We don't have a problem calling guys out when they stiff
that's
us.
Not calling them out. You know, Lane Kiffin called that was Thursday's. He was supposed to be on the show with us. He called us the control room Friday and said, are we doing this? He was a day late.
Did he really?
He called Friday, yeah. We'll get him on, Lane Kiffin. Right. We'll check his. We'll check the fishing tables first and see when the best time is for him. But that's okay. But what made me think about Robert Mays is that I read his stuff today. He wrote I'm going to get us back to our Twitter poll. He wrote a really interesting thing about how, and I want to talk to him about it. We'll get to him. About how the value of defensive ends, edge rush guys, is going down in the NFL. And he followed trends and analytics and salaries. And edge rush guys are not as valuable in the league, and it's becoming a trend as they were in the past. Now, we know the Bills need pass rush, right? We know the Bills drafted interior defensive linemen. And I wanted to talk to Robert Mays about this because I think there's kind of a move afoot in the league to find different ways to engineer pass rush aside from edge rushers. To that point, on our poll today, our Twitter poll, if you're Bean and McDermott, you're thinking to yourself, where is he going with this?
I got
on the
you.
Twitter poll, if you're Bean and McDermott, where do your eyes go first? Only 12% of our respondents say Ed Oliver. Some part of me thinks, and especially when it comes to Leslie Frazier in the defensive side, that and McDermott, a defensive coach, and Bean, because he's the all-around guy, some part of them's got to think, how's this going to work with a quick interior pass rush guy like Ed Oliver and the defense we want to play. I happen to think, I've mentioned it a few times on the show, I think there's something going on in the league where teams are looking for different ways to generate pressure, to generate pass rush, not necessarily coming off the edge all the time. Robert Mays wrote about it, and I wonder if today Bean and McDermott and the rest of them want to get their first look at how this defense might look with Ed Oliver bursting up the middle with his quickness.
Yeah.
Am I crazy?
No, not at all. We've been having guys, the analytics guys, on all off season, guys and girls, who are saying kind of that same thing. The big trend in the league now is to remember that it's easier to cover guys up than it is to rush the passer. And if you can get good coverage on the back end, and it tends to give you more positive results than having a pass rush at the front. Because what happens on a pass rush up the front, quarterback sidesteps the pass rush, and even though the guy beats his guy clean, quarterback sidesteps the pass rush and can still make a play. Or a guy like Josh Allen or one of these other athletic quarterbacks steps out, gets outside the pocket, and you had a great pass rush, but the guy snaps off a 12 or 15-yard run. Or he throws back across the formation after he moves out and the play goes off the page, and they make this big play out of it. There seems to be more – you get more positive results when the quarterback can drop back and really kind of stay in a clean pocket, and the ball comes out on time, but it comes out to a covered receiver. The guy's – it's a tight window. The quarterback has to be so pinpoint accurate, it makes it more difficult to complete the pass on the other end rather than the front end. But the ball comes out. The ball doesn't, like, come off the page. And that's one thing that scares defenses a lot. And that's why teams don't like athletic quarterbacks. When the quarterback goes off the page, go brace contain, all the defensive calls out the window. Nothing applies anymore. They're all just playing street ball. That scares defensive coordinators a ton. And to have a mechanism in place where quarterbacks, the ball's going to be out. If you've got your DBs coached up, playing the right techniques and all that, You're gonna stop them that way.
Robert Mays writes about this. It is it's unfortunate we won't talk to him about it today. He had Robert Mays is a very good writer, very smart guy, very attuned to analytics and what's going on. And there are analytics that show that the ball's coming out of quarterback's hands quicker than ever now in the NFL. Right. And that makes an edge rusher maybe a little less valuable. That was his point. Maybe an interior rusher like Ed Oliver gets a better chance at maybe forcing a bad pass or a tip or a sack even.
And the pressure comes quicker from inside,
yeah.
Right? It's a shorter distance.
Yeah.
It's just geometry. The guy splits through, and he gets 1 yard behind the line of scrimmage. He's right in the lap of the quarterback,
yeah.
And not so on the outside edge rusher.
So we can talk about that. And let me just recap our Twitter poll today. If you're Bean and McDermott, where do your eyes go first in today's OTA? They're in the middle of it now. 53% of our respondents say they go to Josh Allen. 34% say to the offensive line. I understand all that. Only 12% say Ed Oliver. 2% have somebody else in mind. Let us know what you think. We're going to take a break here, but when we come back, we'll take phone calls on this. We'll read tweets on this question. Phone lines open, wide open. If you phone in now, we'll get you on. 803-0550, toll free, 1-888-550-2550. We'll talk more about this. We were laughing in the office today. A couple of weeks ago, we had almost a segment a day about the Dolphins when they got Josh Rosen. Now we're into a segment a day about the Jets.
I know, right?
And that segment's coming up too, so come on back for that. One Bills Live, coming to you from One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.